Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Oh yes, Lord, please help me, Father. Day I'll be satisfied as, oh, as I look, yeah, close to Thee. Amen, Lord. Oh yes, faster, closer. Just a closer walk with Jesus, dear. Right here, He's my plea. Just a closer walk, Father, just a... Oh, granted, Jesus, granted, Jesus is mine. Daily, Lord, with me. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Jesus, Master, walk with Thee, my Lord. Granted, Jesus is mine. Daily, Father, You and me, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, yeah, Lord. Let it be You and me, Lord. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Amen. Old time religion. We need that now to survive in these tough days. Amen. Give me that old time religion. It's that old time holy. Sorry, saints. We'll take our offering. Sometimes I get carried away. Amen. Let's sing that. It's that old time Holy Spirit and the devil walk on it. That's the reason people fear it, and it's good enough. Give me that old time. I need that old time. I need that old time religion, and it's good enough for me. It will make me stop your life. It will save you. Give me that, oh, don't you want that?
and it makes me love my brother, and it brings things from undercover, and it's good enough. Gimme that old time. I want that. Don't you want that old time religion? And it's good. It'll make you stop your life. Make you stop your life. It will save you when you die. It will stop the devil flying. And it's good. Don't you want that old time? Don't you want that old time religion? And it's good enough. Oh, give me that old time. I want that old time. Oh, yes, old time religion. And it's one more time. Give me that old time. I want that old time. I want that old time religion. And it's, oh, it will make you stop your life. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. And it's good enough for, oh, give me that old time. I want that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me.
Oh, thank you. Shape of Zion, it's that old shape of Zion, and it's good enough for me. Shape of Zion, oh, shape of Zion, it's that old shape of Zion, and it's good enough for me.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this good atmosphere where we can express our love through our
Hallelujah.
Singing, through our hand clapping,
Amen.
Through our expression of joy in our faces, O Lord. Just showing that we know who we are worshiping, O Lord. Help us to leave that world of gloom and sorrows of life business, O Lord. And let us enter into the inner courts, O Lord, where we'll see you face to face and worship you accordingly, O Lord. Bless now these offerings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Sorry, Brother Eli. I forgot that song. It's actually on my notes here, but I couldn't sing it. I was singing the previous song. Let's just sing that song for Brother Eli. It's that old shape of Zion. It's that old shape of Zion. It's that old shape of Zion. Get on board, get on board. It's that old shape of Zion. It's that old shape of Zion. It's that old shape of Zion. Get on board, get on board. It has landed, I, O Father. It has landed, my O Father. It has landed, my O Father. Get on board, get on board. It's that old shape of Zion. It's that old shape of Zion. It's that old shape of Zion. Get on board, get on board. Amen. I'm rejoicing night and day as I open the doorway. Oh, the hand of God in all my life I say. Oh, the of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this. Oh, the comfort full of sin. Once my heart was full of sin. Once I had no peace within, until I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his
so sweet now, the comforter abides with thee. He abides, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with you and me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the comfort abides with. He's with me everywhere, he is with me every, hallelujah, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit takes Jesus satisfies my soul, since the comfort abides. He abides, he abides. Sister, come out. Sister, come out. Please come sing. Oh, hallelujah, he abides. Time. He abides, he abides, he abides this morning. Hallelujah. He abides, he abides. Abide with us, Father. Oh, hallelujah. He abides with you and me this morning. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way.
Amen. Let's give the comforter a hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
God bless you, saints.
The key. Don't
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Maybe we'll just ask Sister Chisomo to go now. Because I delayed them. Hallelujah. We'll just ask Sister Chisomo to sing us a special. And then we'll sing to the Lord. Yeah? Amen. This is recorded. The Lord will say, you know, that day you weren't really in worship. You were pretending. I'm serious. Because we're giving glory to God. I was saying to my son, look, we're no more watching football here. Because, no, I'm serious. Because we're giving glory to football. Then when we go to church, we're in a bad spirit. So I said, we block everything. Let's kill all these things, all these parasites. So let's give God the glory. Amen.
As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the true living God. When shall I before God? My tears have been my midday and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me when I love and remember your my life. Why hast thou cast down, oh my soul? And why hast thou disquieted deep within my heart? Hope thou with me, Lord, your song shall be. I will offer sacrifices in my daily life. Oh, me, you hear your praise on my life. Why art thou cast down, oh, because of the oppression of the enemy. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they daily say unto me, why is thy God deep calleth unto deep, deep calleth unto deep, deep calleth unto deep. Ah, the noise of thy waters crowd, oh my waves roar, and oh thy billows, Lord, they are gone, all of them gone over me. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted deep within my soul? O plowing God, for I shall praise it for it, the help of my countenance and my God.
Amen. Thank you so much, saints. Let's stand up. Let's worship the Lord. There's your last opportunity to open your heart to the Lord before the word comes. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. And say, oh, song, in these the closing days of time. In these the closing day of time. Oh, our joy, the glorious hope of hope, that soon all wondrous truth supply. Let's express it to the Lord.
Today. First of all, let's speak before we come to pray. We had a couple of prayer requests. Sister Natasha and Marco, they're not well. They've got fever, so let's pray for them. Yeah. Hannah also, she's writing exams this week in school. We want to pray for her. May the Lord bless her on that. Brother Jeannot is saying, I want to thank you. I'm here to say thank you to the Lord because I passed a difficult time. Amen. Now I'm feeling better. I want to say thank you to all the church and to Pastor Andrew for supporting me in prayer. Also, I've got a new job. Good, bro. God bless you for that. And I ask the church to support me in prayer. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jonah. Sister Lydia put a request as well for her friend's daughter, Romanka, who had a car accident recently. She's in her late 20s. They're believers in Slovakia. She was expecting a baby, but due to the accident, she lost the baby. She hasn't woken up yet since the accident happened. So we want to pray the Lord to undertake for her for his glory. And also let's pray for Brother Vlad. He's also sick at home today. So those are requests we want to put before the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Father, what a miserable people that we would be if we didn't have a place and an opportunity and a chance to come to Lord. Father, yeah. Even as Paul said, we would be people most miserable, Lord, if we didn't believe in you and know that you're real. Father, for then we just live, Lord, for today. And Father, we wouldn't have a solution to these things, but we come before thee now. Lord, I'm thinking of this sister, Lord. I'm really thinking of her with this misfortune, Lord, that the world would say. But Father, we want to lift her up unto you. Father, she's still in a coma. Lord, you know where she is. You know exactly what's going on. And we just offer our prayers. We just come unto you to ask of you that you would reach down into that situation and just show the greatness of your love, show the greatness of your glory, that, Lord, she may wake up once again, Lord. And Father, that you may help her, that, Father, your name would be lifted up, Lord. The other request for Sister Hannah, she has exams. Lord, may you grant her favor, grant her grace, grant her wisdom. May you be with her, Father. May you quicken her understanding, Lord, we pray. You watch over her, Lord, we pray. Thank you for Brother Jono with his new job. Bless him in it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for providing that for him. Father, you be glorified indeed. And Sister Natasha and Marco, we pray for them. Brother Vlad, many sick at this time, Lord. We just look to you. Father, our hope, our expectation is in you. So we commit it to thee, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Father, thank you that you brought us, Lord, once again to gather around your word. Thank you for Friday, the time that you had. Now, Lord, we look to thee. Bless Brother Max for the Sunday school. Bless the song leader. Bless the musicians. But Father, help us now, Lord, just to yield to you. Father, let your will be done. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. Let's be seated 1 second. We just want to greet our visitors today. Really glad to have Brother Mark and Sister Beth from South Africa with us. They've been here before. Brother Mark and Sister Beth at the back. Let's greet them. Amen. They're visiting their daughter down in just near to Limerick. So we were together with them when we were in Limerick the other week. So it's wonderful to be with them. Also, Brother Valda, Sister Verica, good to see them. God bless you. Wonderful. And also, Brother Jose. God bless you, Brother Jose. Nice to see you, brother. And also, we have greetings from Brother Lubosch's church in Modra, Slovakia, and from Brother Jaro Balint in Tisovec. So we do appreciate the greetings. Thank you for that. So since we're continuing on today with our youth focus a little bit, but I think every single one of us are youth, are we not? You know, I just think of Jesus. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Okay, can you bring my computer from the library? Every single one of the disciples, it's amazing. I think Jesus was younger than most of his disciples, except for John, but he called them children. He said, children, let's go and do this and that, follow him. So I really see that with the Lord. You're all just children in the Lord. You may be 50-something, you may be 60-something, you may be 70-something. We're just children. If Jesus was here, we, each and every one of us would just go and sit at his feet. You know, and we'd be asking him questions, and we'd be relying on him. So it doesn't matter what age we are simply the children of God. And that's how we wanted to have a look at something down that line. As we continue on, just with this thought of a youth focus, so may the Lord help our young people. We also have a baptism. I got a call just this week from Brother Israel. It was so nice to hear from him. He was away in America for a while, and the Lord really dealt with him there. And, you know, sometimes the Lord has to take us away so that we can find ourselves. You know, so our brother was away in America. He's come back now just for a short period, and he phoned me and said, please, I really want to be baptized. So it's wonderful when the Lord gets a hold of somebody. You know, so we'd like to baptize him today. I know Brother Virgo is saying the weather's not the best. I said, it doesn't matter. He's going to get wet anyhow. So it doesn't really affect him very much, but it's a real, real blessing. Let's stand, saints, just as I copy this once again. Let's open our Bibles. We'd like to read two scriptures. One is from Psalm 139. We'll try to get our thought from there. Psalm 139. Sometimes technology lets us down, yeah? Psalm 139. Let's read it from verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Amen. Let's also read a book of Ephesians chapter 3. I'd like to look at these two scriptures in two parts. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read from 18 to 19. This is Paul's prayer for us. It says that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So Paul desired us to know his love in a better way, to know the full extent of this love, its length, its breadth, its height, its depth. So we'd like to look at that as well. Let's pray one more time. Father, may you help us now. Lord, we can prepare, we can put our things together, but Lord, we know that it's only you that can do the work. So Jesus, you're so faithful to keep your appointments, Lord. Draw nigh unto every soul upon this day. Bless everyone, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. God bless you. Just give me 1 second because I need to use my slides here. So we wanted to have a look at the thought today of two things. The first thing we want to look at is that we are divinely designed. And the second thing is we want to look at that we're deeply loved. So there's two things that we're looking at here. We're divinely designed and we are deeply loved. And one will lead to the other. Sorry, this is just not cooperating with me. Give me 1 second here. Sorry, saints, just 1 second here. Amen. Okay, I'll just restart my machine and we'll keep going while we do that. Okay, saints, so the first scripture that we've read what David is speaking about us. Now, David is saying something really wonderful. David is saying that who you are is divinely designed. You know, I love it sometimes when you look at the Bible and you look at science. Because sometimes science catches up with the Bible. You find most of the time science doesn't catch up with the Bible. This was written by David 3,000 years ago. You can imagine in his day. Now, David never understood all of the scientific things. But when a person is under divine inspiration, they can speak profound things. So David in Psalm 139, he says that all of your members, all of our members were written in his book when yet they were not formed. Amen. So he's saying that everything that you are, you know, even the way that you look, the way that your color of your eyes, everything that you are is not something that just happened by chance. It's not something that while you're growing up, all of these things start taking care of yourself. David is saying no. He says that all of these things were written in God's book before we were made. You know, and so, you know, science would look at that and say, that's not true. And science confounds itself. I really love that about science. Is that, you know, when Darwin came and he had his theory of evolution and they had their little microscopes there that couldn't see very much and they looked inside of the human body and they saw the human cell, they said, oh, everything's so simple. Now, this all must have happened by chance. You know, something happened back there. There was some lightning struck some pool of, you know, primordial soup or whatever they call it and things came. And then science now started to confound themselves because now they made an electron microscope. And with an electron microscope, you can start to see things far more clearly than the generations gone by. So they started looking inside of the human body now and the cells. They started to say, but yeah, this is complicated. They started to see inside of a human cell, which is so tiny that you can fit, you know, hundreds of them on the head of a pin. They started to find there's such a complexity of design There's factories inside of your cells that are generally as power plants, your mitochondria. There's, you know, generating electricity and power. And the deeper they looked and the more powerful the instruments became, the more they started to see that this is not possible. This started by chance. No, it's too complicated. And then the thing which you want to have a look at just a little bit here today is when now they started looking at DNA. Now they started looking and they started to say, okay, let's look a little bit deeper inside of the cell. And they looked inside of the nucleus of the cell. And as they started to look right into the nucleus of a human cell, which is something so fractional and so tiny and so microscopic, they started to find that there was something so powerful in there called your DNA. And that everything that you are physically, all of your physical traits, all that you will become physically, you're going to find that. Yeah, sorry, bro. It's just not really cooperating with me here. Sorry, bro. So all that you're ever going to be, if you've got blue eyes, say you've got brown eyes, the color of your skin, the type of hair that you're going to have, your height, you know, all of these things were determined before you were born. They were written somewhere. They were written in your DNA. And that's why the scientists now, they call DNA your book of life. They say your book of life was already written and put inside of you when the very first cell of you came into existence. When your mother and your father came together and the seed, you know, came together now with the egg, you found that you took certain characteristics from your mom and your dad and everything came together into one cell, and everything that physically you're going to be was already recorded in that cell. It was recorded inside of your DNA. And the scientists started to look at that now and they said, we found the secret of life. No, they haven't found the secret of life. That's not the secret of life. But they found out that the one who gives life is so profoundly intelligent. Yeah, we take our phones now. I don't have my phone with me. But, you know, they say we use nanotechnology. Things are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. God surpassed them all from the beginning. Because God can take the most powerful and complicated of things and He can make it so small that it can fit inside of the nucleus of a cell. Yet it'll be so powerful that man in all of his wisdom, man in all of his inventions, he's never come close and never will come close to the complexity of what God put microscopically inside of a cell. And Paul tells us in Romans, friends, he says that if the scientists were honest, they would tell you there's a God. Hallelujah. They would. He says, because that which can be known of God is revealed in the things that He's made. He says, but they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but for them to acknowledge that, hey guys, now we've got ourselves a big problem. Because we've been saying everything comes by chance. But now we've got something here that's absolutely impossible to happen by chance. Instead of humbling themselves and saying, guys, we are wrong, what do? They try to find some other outlandish theory to try to explain those things. That's why Paul says they are without excuse. On that day, they will stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, what could have been known of me? It was revealed to you in the things that I made. But you people didn't want to acknowledge me as the creator, that I'm the one that made these things. You know, so it's a really something to think about. You know, you really, really do think about it. Sorry, Sense, I really need my slides. If you can give me 1 second, I'm trying to go as far as I can without my slides, but I need them, but it's not helping me here. But you'll just lead us in one song while I sort this, please, if you would. Sorry, Sense, I really need this today.
Amen. We'll sing the computer
working. Amen. As we sing, it'll come on. Okay, good. I'll try to connect straight to the screen. That's a good idea, Brother Gus. Brother Gus has good ideas. Okay, let's sing one as we try to get this going here.
We are going to see soon and very soon, soon and very soon. We are going to see soon and very soon, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the no more dying day, no more dying day. We are going to see the no more dying, no more dying day. We are going to see the King, no more dying.
coming soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Okay, since we're going to try it like this, it's been a little bit. Okay, so we're going to look at this one here. So the first thing which we've been speaking about a little bit is we're divinely designed. Now, friends, that is a powerful concept. Because once you start to understand that nothing about you is by chance, you'll stop contending with yourself. And you stop contending with God. Because if God made you a certain way, remember Moses, he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I stammer, I can't speak very well. And the Lord says, Moses, who made your mouth? He says, I didn't make a mistake when I made you. I made you the way that you're supposed to be for a specific purpose. And once you start to understand that even physically, the physical characteristics, your color, even just the traits that you've inherited, God, the prophet says, God took your grandmother, your grandfather, and he bred them together, coming down to your mother and father, because he was trying to get exactly the combination that he wanted. He wanted to get a certain ding in the bell. So it's like mixing different alloys together until he got what he wanted. Then he says, now this is the raw material. Now there's the supernatural aspect, because you're never going to do anything. Before Moses met the burning bush, it was just potential inside of him. It was just all of his mechanics. But the moment he met the dynamics now, then he started to understand why God had made him the way that he was. But we as human beings, we want to look at other people. We want to be like other people. Why can't I be like her? Why can't I be like him? Even beauty, friends. The Bible says beauty is vain. Beauty brings pride. Beauty brings a snare. There's not many people that can be beautiful, extremely handsome, and serve God. It's not easy to find. Yet God, he gives you that beauty for a reason. Like Esther in the Bible. God gave her beauty for a divine purpose. She could have used that to be a beauty queen. She could have used that to be on the magazine covers. But she didn't. She used that beauty. She put herself from the hands of God. And she had an inward beauty that governed her outward beauty. And that's why now the Lord had made her beautiful so that she would be the queen. So she'd attract the attention of the King so that she could save her people in that day. So every single thing which we are, as believers, God has designed these things. So we see it. They say they call your DNA now, inside of your cell, they call it the book of life. And you read, these are different books, and they speak about the story of the genetic revolution, the language of life. They use all of this kind of terminology when they're speaking of these things. And like I say, science now is catching up with the Bible. Because the Bible, the Lord, and we know especially from the Message, friends, we know that God, he thought of you before you were here. And God's thoughts, like we saw the other week, they're not just thoughts like ours that we can change. God's thoughts are substance. So God thought of you, and he thought of the way you would be, and he thought of the way that your stature, and he thought of the place that you were going to be born, and the things he is going to take you through. And every one of those things were recorded before you came here. And we're just walking in this great vision that he had for us. So science is starting to understand that as well. That when they look now, here you are. Here's the first photo that was ever taken of you. When you were 3 days old. Now you started off as a single cell, and now it's multiplied into 16 cells. And that is the head of a pin. So you can just see how microscopic we're speaking. So when you first started, that you were just one of these little cells in the beginning. That's what you were. But inside of you at that time was something so powerful, because inside of that one cell you had a nucleus, and inside of that nucleus were your chromosomes, and that now unfolds, and that's your DNA, all the genetics that you are. And everything that you are was already recorded in that first cell. My, you think about that. Wow, if you don't believe in predestination, friends, go and study science a little bit. Science believes in predestination. No, you didn't choose. Remember, that's why Jesus said, who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? He's saying you're worrying about things. You can't change even the way that you look. They do try these days with Max Factor and that, but that's all a fake. But God made you for a specific purpose, made you the way that you are, the race that you are, the color you are, the language that you have, even the temperament that you have. If you can put yourself in the hands of God, you're going to find God didn't make a mistake making you like that. Yeah, and the, all of these things, you inherited them right from the very point of conception. So God had you written in His book before the foundation of the world. Then God just took a portion of that book supernaturally and He transcribed it naturally into your book of life in the gene. You know, so this is just a natural reflection of what God had inside of you. So this DNA now, this genetic code, this gives you all of your physical characteristics. But it was in you right from the beginning. And as you go through, you know, mitosis, meiosis, you guys do biology, as the cells start splitting and duplicating, every time the cell splits, it replicates the DNA. An exact copy is put in the next cell. So every cell in your body, and there's not a few of them, saints. Do you want me to tell you how many cells you have? I can't tell you exactly because some have just fallen off. But you have about 10 trillion cells in your body. And in those 10 trillion cells, inside of every single one of those cells is an exact copy of your book of life. Your DNA is exactly the same in every one of those cells. So every cell knows exactly, it's got the recipe, it's got the instruction manual to do everything that's required to get done. It doesn't have to learn anything new. It was programmed inside of that cell right from the beginning. If it needs a new protein, if it needs a new amino acid, if it needs, you know, to make a certain hormone or a certain something, all it has to do is go and have a look in the instructions. Because the instructions to build everything that your body needs is already coded in the DNA. And somehow, and science doesn't know how, when your body needs something, maybe it needs, it's an infection, you get a new virus, it needs to make new antibodies. There's a signal goes through the body and says, okay, there's a new invader, we need to overcome him, we need this, that, and the other. Your DNA unravels, it starts to unravel. These little machines come inside of your cell, they come exactly to the part of your DNA, which has the instructions now of how to build exactly the proteins that are needed to make an antibody. They come and read that part. And they build exactly like Lego set. Wow, wow, wow. They go and build exactly what's required to make something. Then your DNA goes back again and goes back into the cell. Friends, that's a serious, serious thing to start to think about. And if you took the DNA just from one of your cells, that microscopic cell, and you stretched it out, it would be 2 meters long. That's how much information is stored inside of your DNA. And if you took the DNA from all of your cells, the 10 trillion, and you stretched them out, you know how far it would go? It would go from the sun to Pluto. It would go across the solar system. That's how much information, friends, is stored inside of your body. You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm simple. No, don't ever say you're simple again. Next time you look in the mirror, you know what you do? You say like David, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. You just say, I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. And friends, you could spend a lot of time on this. The more you get into this, the more powerful it became to me. But you just have to like summarize a few things. But I know like people like Brother Faithful and then that are given to these things. They know what I'm meaning. Friends, it is so powerful, your DNA, your genetics. And the prophets all are speaking about that. We are the genes of God and all the principles that He speaks like that. But there's so much information inside of you. So, you know, so when it needs something to be built, somehow your body knows to go and unravel, make a certain protein, make another protein, bring them together, make an antibody, go and fight against COVID. You think of that. What is the intelligence behind this? Now, science, so-called, like Paul says, will tell you this happened by chance. But friends, that is insanity. Can I just read you a statement that one microbiologist said to a Christian magazine recently. Can I just read what he said? But he said it anonymously. He said, they asked him about genetics, about this book of life. Do you think it can have evolved? He says, it can never. He says, to be a molecular biologist requires one to hold on to two insanities at the same time. The first insanity is, it would be insane to believe in evolution when you can see the truth for yourself. He says, but the other insanity is to say that you don't believe in evolution because you lose your job. You see, man's not a believer. He doesn't have a principle. But you're trying to live between two insanities now. You know that, hey, this is impossible to happen by chance. You know, the evolution is a lie. You know, it is. Absolutely, it's a lie. But you have to keep pushing that line and saying those things so you can get your grants and you can stay in the university and you can keep your professorship and that. Shame. What a life to live, saints. Hey, that you can't be yourself. And he actually calls this the elephant in the room. He says, we have to live with the elephant in the room. He says, what elephant? The design of creation, he says. It's like an elephant in the living room. It moves around, takes up so much space, trumpets loudly, bumps into us, knocks things over, eats a lot of hay, smells like an elephant, and yet we as scientists have to swear that it's not there. Can you see what science is, friends? That's why in Romans 1, the Lord says, if you want to know me, even in my natural creation. Yeah. Remember the prophet says, show us the Father. He says, God in his creation. Yeah. God can be seen just in the things which he's made, the invisible things that he's made, the Bible says. But these people now, they hold their truth in unrighteousness. Because they want to hold on now to the big positions. And they don't want to be looked down upon because they believe in that this is a creation. This is design. This is not something that can happen by chance. Yeah. And you'll see it as we go that it's impossible for it to happen by chance. If we have a look at divine coding. Now I know there's some saints here that are good at coding. You know, I did it. I did programming many years of my life as I wrote a lot of programs. It's a powerful thing to do, to take lines of code and to build complicated things out of simple commands. You're taking simple commands, if then else commands and things like that. Now you're taking commands and it's got logic and it's got all these different things that use variables and stuff. And you can build programs out of very simple logic. Things that people can respond to, things that can calculate things, things that can perform certain functions. And you just build it up very simply in lines of code. Like if you use C++, whatever language it is that you use, Java, whatever. There's all these different languages. Now, all of these scientists, when they look at DNA, they say the similarities are just outstanding. It's like your DNA is a divine coding. Yeah, it's lines of code built on simple principles that brings forth great and mighty things. So they call it divine coding. Richard Dawkins, the most famous atheist of our age, he says, the machine code of the genes is uncannily computer-like. So even he can see, when looking at in that microscopic nucleus, he said, this is like a powerful computer. These are lines of code to execute instructions. Yeah? In Microsoft Windows, Windows 10, it has 50 million lines of code. That's quite a lot. I mean, Windows 10 does a lot of things. You know, if you think about opening Windows and Cortana, you know, all the voice recognition, artificial intelligence, and you know, all the system things that it does. Now, if you're more advanced, the Mac has 85 million lines of code. I said that because I use a Mac. But the Mac, the latest Mac operating system, has 85 million lines of code to do what it does. Friends, that's a powerful amount of code. Imagine the teams of programmers, all that intelligence, all their training, to bring thousands of programmers, system designers, system analysts, bring them in a company. Yeah, the smartest of the smart, the geniuses of their class, bring them together to write 85 million lines of code, something that can control your computer. But then you ask yourself, how many lines of code in the human genome? Who would like to hazard a guess? How many lines of code? Brother Nathaniel wants to guess. How many? $100 million. Ooh. 3.3 billion. There's 3.3 billion lines of code inside of your nucleus. That's your DNA. Now, friends, no person in their right mind would come and look at Windows 10 and say that could ever have happened by chance. Because for you to take 50 million lines, arrange them intelligently to produce the effects that to make something that's useful, something that'd be beneficial to man. If somebody came and said, that just happened by chance over time, you would say that's insanity. What are you talking about? That can't be like that. Or if you look at the Mac as well. But people look at this and they say it happened by chance. They say you can take DNA, 3.3 billion lines of instructions, which will produce the human body. And the power of DNA, it's got conditional code inside of it as well, is that there's certain lines in your DNA which all make the same proteins. Yeah, and they wanted to say, but look, there's four different combinations that seem to have the same result. But then they went and they found that inside of your DNA, it is time conditioned. When you're young and you need a certain protein to develop your jaw, it needs a certain type of protein at that time. But when you get older now and your jaw needs to grow, you need instructions now to make the same protein, but it's going to build your jaw up. There's all these different codes inside of that they found that, yes, you don't want the code inside of your DNA when you're 3 years old to start giving you a beard as a man. That's conditional. You got to have some ifs and thens and elses inside of here. They say, look, build these hormones, stick them in the bloodstream. They're going to make your voice start to go deeper. They're going to make your beard start to grow at puberty. But that's got to happen at the right time. So there's got to be programming inside of there. There's error checking. There's regulation code inside of it that's checking all the time. When this part of DNA wants to kick in, there's other parts of DNA that are checking. Say, no, not now. There's actually parts of DNA which are called pores. Yeah. That when you're producing a certain protein, so it's running through these instructions here. Okay, let's go back to that one. It's running through these instructions here to form a certain protein. As it's interpreting all these instructions and bringing all the materials together, each of these little molecules, these little amino acids, they already respond to gravity in different ways. So it makes them fold over each other and make certain shapes. But sometimes it needs them to take a little bit more time to fold properly. So in your DNA, at that part of the code, it has a pause function. It says pause. And nothing is made for a while it folds over properly. Then chuk, the next instruction starts going on. It says, okay, let's keep making this thing. Friends, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. It is so powerful to see what God has put with such a nanotechnology. Something so small, you can't see it with the human eye. You've got to get an electron microscope to be able to see what's going on inside of that cell. But it's something so powerful. Look what Bill Gates says. You all know Bill Gates. Bill Gates says DNA is like a computer program, but far, far more advanced than any software we've created. I mean, he started Microsoft. He wrote Windows. I mean, he wrote MS-DOS in the beginning. He wrote Windows. He was the richest man in the world. But when he looked at these things, he said, this is like a computer program. He said, this is so powerful, but it's so far advanced from anything which we've ever written. The next question comes in then. Who wrote the code? That's a book. Who wrote the code? Code can't write itself. It can't. All code is the product of a mind, of an intelligence. Code can't write itself. Like they say, a book can't write itself. The ink on the page can't write the book. You know, you can put ink on the page, but there's an intelligence behind compiling the book. And the same as what's happening inside of your body. We can see the DNA. We can see all these instructions. But who was the supreme programmer behind these things? Who was the one who set out all these instructions to work at certain times in certain ways and at certain times to block certain things, certain times to kick in certain things? So that as you're developing now, you develop the way that God wanted you to develop. Friends, here we have a master program inside of here. That's why they say it's divine coding. This is why the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He says, before you were in the belly, I knew you. I already programmed you to be what you are supposed to be. I put it inside of your DNA that you would be a prophet, that you could see visions, that you know, he made him in a certain way. You know, so the scripture is so very, very clear on this, is that he knew you before your parents knew you. He knew, that's the real you. And he put you inside of his book spiritually, but he also recorded you down in DNA, a very powerful computer code inside of every one of your cells. Yeah? My. And then we look in the mirror and say, I wish my nose wasn't so big. Oh yes, I wish my ears didn't stick out so much. You know, when you're young, I remember when I was in school, I used to always have a complex about my ears sticking out so much. Say, I don't want my ears to be so big. That's just a stage of life. But once you become a believer, you start just surrendering yourself in the hands of God. Because you find that He knows what He's doing. That everything, remember the prophet that time going to the Lord and saying, why did you make me so nervous like this? I'm like a nervous wreck when I'm trying to shoot my gun. If I'm just half an inch off, I go apart. And the prophet was crying in the woods. And the Lord said, I made you like that. Amen. He says, I made you like that. So when you're reading the word, if it's not exactly right, you can't be satisfied. It's got to be exactly on target. Otherwise, you can see. So every single thing that's inside of us, you might look at as a negative, but God made you like that for a purpose. Amen. He wants to use that. He makes you a high-tempered person like Peter. That's okay. Put it in the hands of God. You're going to be an apostle that turns the world upside down. He makes you studious like Paul, but be careful what you study. Put it in the hands of God. You're going to write the New Testament. You know, so God makes us in a certain way. There's no chance. We are divinely designed. And there's such a rest in that, friends. Now, your life is divinely designed. It says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Even for you to be here today, it was divinely designed. It wasn't by chance. You might look at the natural circumstance and know it was someone invited. No, 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 no. God is the great circumstance behind all the circumstances. Now, He can be in control. He's like, you know, the puppet master moving things and you don't even know that He's there. He's moving the paths of people to meet and people to meet at certain times and things like that. But the problem is now, is Satan hacked into the human race? Satan is the ultimate hacker. He came and God programmed the human race for His glory. God programmed the human race to walk with Him. And here came Satan. He's a hacker. He can't create anything. He comes to pervert that which is there. That's why you find diseases in the womb and you find all these commutations and so forth. It's Satan's hacking what God made. God's program in the beginning was perfect. I'm sure that Adam and Eve were perfect like the prophet said. They were perfect physically, perfect spiritually. Their fellowship was perfect. But when sin came in, when Satan got in, he started to tamper now, try to inject his code inside of there. He's the ultimate hacker, friends. That's really what and he wants to hack your life. God didn't make you to use your mind for devious means. That's Satan hacking what God made. God wants His spirit to control your mind. So that you think on these things like the Bible says. So your meditations are acceptable in His sight. But Satan wants to come and pervert and hack and get in there now and put his code inside of there. And his code is all this malicious code. That may seem to be true when he comes to you with it. But in the end, see what it is. Like when you get that email, you know, God bless you, my brother. I am Obasanjo from Nigeria. I'm Prince Obasanjo. I get them all the time. I just inherited $50 million, which is kind of, if you can just help me, I'll give you some of it. You know, that's kind of, that man's mind wasn't made to do that. That scammer, they're sitting, cheating old people. And God never made him to do that. Satan hacked him. And God in there, and what is it? Unbelief is the ultimate virus that comes into somebody. You find our young people, sometimes they're doing well. Then Satan comes and ejects this virus of unbelief in them for a season. And now all of a sudden there's a foreign entity comes in. You wonder, hey, where's this coming from? Where's this unbelief coming from? Where is this negativity coming from? Friends, unbelief is a serious virus. The worst thing you can get on your computer is a virus. You know, it comes in as if it's your friend, but it's not your friend. Now you open an attachment, you don't realize, tick, somebody can take over your computer now. And now it starts doing things that you never intended it to do, and you don't have control over it anymore the way you did before. You see what happens when you allow unbelief to come in your life. When you allow temptation, the wrong friends, the wrong influence, you start doing things that you never thought you would do. And the Lord will be looking to say, I never programmed you to do that. That's not part of what your DNA really is. That's not who you are. Something else has hacked into you. Another influence has come. And it's influencing you in the wrong direction. God doesn't want it to be like that, friends. We were made for a divine purpose. So as soon as Satan got in there, the Garden of Eden, and hacked him there, man stopped fulfilling the design that he was designed for. Now man's violent, man's evil, man's selfish. Now you find the days of of Noah. Now the sons of God start looking at the daughters of men that they fear. All of those things start taking place because this malicious code has come in. Oh, friends, and the Lord looks down and he's grieved. And he says, this isn't the way that it's supposed to be. Friends, God, when he made your DNA, he didn't make your mouth to speak lies. Amen. That's not the divine design of your mouth. He never made your mouth to chat up girls. That's not what your mouth was designed for. Yeah? He never made your lungs to be filled with smoke. Somebody... God never designed one person's lungs to be filled with smoke. Amen. That's how when you try to smoke at first, you cough. It's a foreign something. Yes, you've got to poison your body to get used to it. God never made your liver so that it processes alcohol. That wasn't his idea. That you're killing your liver. You're killing your liver with alcohol. That was Satan who came in and hacked the human race. And God looked down and this divine design that he made for man. He says, I never made people for this. Your eyes weren't made to look at the wrong things. God gave you eyes for a purpose. So you can look at a beautiful sunset and say, Lord, this is so powerful. So you can be like David and say, when I behold the heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man? That you might, that is what your eyes should be used for. But Satan wants to hack in there. Now you find somebody reading things they shouldn't, looking at things that they shouldn't. You've been hacked by the devil. He's got and he's brought a malicious code inside of there. It's not going to do you any good. That may seem pleasant. It might seem good while it's infecting you. But what is the end result always of an infection? It never does you any good. And now you find the very thing you were designed for, you're not fulfilling the purpose of the design anymore. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Our ears, friends. God in the beginning, when he made your DNA, he never wanted you to listen to hip-hop. He never. I know there's a new crazy one called K-pop, I think it's called now. Yeah? Korean pop or something like that. God, when he made your ear, his design was so you could hear his voice. So you could fellowship with his children. So you could hear the beauty of his creation. God never ever made your ear so you could stick them in or go to the rave and almost come out deaf. Because of what acid rock and all of these rave kind of music. God never intended that, friends. That's not the divine purpose that was programmed inside of your DNA. Something else has come in the way and is spoiling you now. Something's making you do things you weren't designed to do. That's why you start getting sick. You go and you drink, you have a hangover the next day. You're so sick you can't get out of bed. You feel like dying. No, the next day. Your body's trying to tell you something. Your body is trying to say, I wasn't designed for this. What are you doing? Use your brain that God gave you. You know, use it the right kind of a way. And then you smoke. And you know, it even says it on the package. Smoking causes cancer. Smoking causes infertility. Smoking has radioactive, tobacco has radioactive materials. Tobacco has so many carcinogenic substances inside that they've proved cause cancer. And you knowingly, you take that smoke and you stick it in your lungs, knowing it's been proved by science to cause cancer, to cause infertility. You can't taste properly after a while. You can't smell properly after a while. Can you see what Satan has done to the human race, friend? But God didn't program you like that. That wasn't the original code that he put inside of you. God programmed you for a divine design, a divine purpose, like with Jeremiah. I made you. When you were in your mother's womb, I formed you in a certain way for my glory. But you got to put yourself in his hands and say, I don't want to serve the devil anymore. Now, I don't want to walk around there with my pants half down, you know, and music blasting out of my car that people can hear 3 blocks away. You know, when those guys, like all of us, you hear them coming down the... Then you see the car goes past... You say, hey, what's that doing to the guy's ears? Your ears weren't ordained for that. Amen. Now, the greatest thing you can do with your ears is hear the voice of God. Hear the word of God. Listen to the needs of someone else. Use the faculties that God designed you for. Put them in his hands. Jesus showed us what eyes should be used for when he wept over Jerusalem. Yeah, when he looked with compassion upon people. He didn't look with lust in his eyes at the woman at the well. That's when the devil hacks you to do those kind of things. He didn't live that kind of a life. That's not the purpose that we're made for. We're not supposed to be doing these things. So finally, the Lord says, hey, it's gone too far. So now he reveals the source code to us now. The first Christmas now. Here comes the Word made flesh. God says, I need to show these people again what the real purpose is of DNA. I need to show them the real purpose that they were made for. They've forgotten what the eyes should be used for. They've forgotten what the ears should be used for. They've forgotten what their understanding, their talents, their abilities should be used for. So I'll have to come down and show them myself. And the Word becomes flesh and comes and dwells amongst us. That first Christmas, and what is God doing? God is trying to show us what we're supposed to be. That is what Jesus was. Jesus was brought down to earth to live a life to show us what God designed us to be. Amen. That you weren't designed to be down there in the nightclubs and then next day you're falling asleep at work on the desk. He never did that. If you're going to be falling asleep, rather be like Jesus praying all night. Seeking the will of the Father. Yeah, that's the kind of life. So here he comes down now, Jesus. And the designer himself comes down, designs himself a body. And he has a cell is made with a certain divine DNA. But it's human and it's divine. He has a virgin birth. And God is showing, no, there's no, Satan hasn't hacked this one. This one is virgin. This is the way that it was supposed to be from the beginning. And he's going to be the first of many sons that are going to be born. Sons and daughters that are going to be born. So he comes down now to show us the real purpose, the divine intent of this design that he made. And that's how when you look at Jesus, friends, like I want to say, you'll almost be embarrassed. I always get embarrassed. Like we were saying the other week, when you start complaining or you're saying stuff, then you go and look at Jesus and say, but yay, yeah, that was a life worth living. Because he never lived for himself. He never used what God had given him for selfish motive, selfish ambition. Never made himself rich. Never made himself a king. Never had himself even a big house. Nothing wrong with having a big house. But he never did that. He came to demonstrate what God's mind was concerning the human race. And saying, this is my beloved son. Shayim, here's the example. This is what I want you people to be. Oh, friends, and we started to look, and we said, but yay. And he asked Peter, the fisherman, I'm sure he cursed and swore before he met Jesus. He was a rough guy. I'm sure he was fighting, maybe in the pubs after fishing. He was one of those kinds of guys. And then one day he meets the designer himself. And he says, I was never satisfied with this life. I knew I'm not supposed to be like this. But now I see what I'm supposed to be. And when Jesus reflected the word, something inside of Peter said, this is what I want. I want to be like him. Let me put myself under him. Amen. And he comes to follow now, like we were saying on Friday. Come follow me. And now he starts to disciple them. And he starts to show them. Yeah. Now, no, your voice, Peter, the reason you've got such a booming voice, you're going to bring 3,000 to Christ on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. And Paul, the reason you can do these things, you're going to stand in front of thousands of people and preach. And you're going to find out, okay, that's why I was made like. I thought I was made with big lungs so I could shout at the other fishermen that were getting in my way. Then you start finding that's not the real reason you were made like that. There was a divine purpose and a divine design behind all of these things. And when he comes now, Satan comes with his ransomware. You know what ransomware is? Eh? He wants to hack and say, pay me some money and I'll release your company. He wants to come and try with Jesus. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the earth. friends, but you can't hack the word. This is an unhackable something, the word. You can't. You know, the word, I think I might have put it here. The word is the ultimate antivirus program, friends. You know, no matter what virus you try to put on, get behind me, Satan. Oh, friends. So if you're born of the word, imagine even your DNA inside of you. Yeah. It starts lining up to its divine design once again. When your soul, when you give your heart to the Lord and the Lord comes and takes his place, renews you spiritually. Even the natural function, the very purpose that God wrote in your DNA will now start to express itself the right way. And it brings health to your bones, marrow to your bones, health to your flesh like that. It's a healthy sort of a way. When you're walking in the will of God, you can rest. You don't have to be panicking all the time. Am I supposed to be this? Friends, if you would understand that even the rapture was pre-programmed, you wouldn't be cracking your head all the time saying, am I going to be in the rapture? No, friend. God has predestined all these things. And he knows how to get us there. If you're his son, if you're one of his sheep, the sheepfold doesn't close if there's still one out there. Amen. You know, you start saying there's a divine purpose, a design. All I've got to do is yield myself to him. He's the intelligence. I'm not the intelligence. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. He's the master programmer. And he's the one who programmed this whole program. He knows the way that it's supposed to work. So friends, Jesus comes now. And when he comes down, he comes to demonstrate to us what man is supposed to be. Hallelujah. That's why the greatest thing we can ever do is lift Jesus up before people. Hallelujah. In his word, in our testimony, hallelujah, and in our lives. Despite the fact that we're imperfect reflections of him. But like we say, even that imperfect reflection of the word in Naomi was sufficient to deliver Ruth from her paganism. Amen. For Ruth to come to that clear-cut decision, your God's going to be my God. Yes. Then Naomi was down there in Moab. Yeah, but she still lived something that was genuine. And now Ruth, for the first time inside of her life, she started to realize what a genuine life is. Amen. The purpose. We're not supposed to be bowing down to these statues and lighting these candles and all this kind of stuff. She said, no, that's not the kind of life. There's an invisible God who rules over all things. Yeah, and something moved inside of her. So that's the greatest thing that we can do, friends. And now Jesus came now to bring us the new birth. But as we switch the tack a little bit, Jesus now didn't only come to show us that we divinely designed, but he came to show that we deeply loved. Because friends, God is not an impersonal designer. No, he's not like Bill Gates who makes his code and then takes his money and runs. He doesn't do that. No. When he designs you, he wants to be in partnership with you. He wants you to continue in his love. Because that's the only atmosphere, that's the only way this DNA is going to correctly be able to express itself, is when you realize how much he loves you. And you surrender yourself and you start walking in divine love. Friends, divine love is such a powerful thing. Yeah. And Paul now, that scripture you read, I don't know if I put it on a slide. I think I did. No, I didn't put it here. Yeah, I did. Okay, we're going to look a little bit at divine geometry. Seeing that we're in the classroom today. Who knows geometry? You know, geometry, when you're doing all these different coordinates, measurements, and all these different calculations. We need to work out some divine geometry today. Because Paul is telling us that we need to calculate something. He says that what we need to be able to comprehend. Yeah. So we're trying to come to a certain conclusion. We're trying to come to a certain result. We want to comprehend something. We want to understand, firstly, the breadth of God's love. Hey, woo, that's going to be a tough one. We need to understand the length of God's love. Wow, this is a serious divine geometry that you're going to have to look at here. How are we going to work this out? We need to look at the depth of God's love, and we need to look at the height of his love. Now, Paul isn't saying to the believers, he's not praying for the believers saying, I want you to love Christ more, which is good. I mean, he does want. But he's saying, I'm praying for if you could just understand how much God loves you. He said, if you could just comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of this love. But he says, but this love, what? It passes knowledge. He says it's going to need more than just your human knowledge to understand this. You know, Paul is actually saying that we should be praying to say, Lord, please, I want to be able to grasp your love more. I want to understand you. And it needs the Lord to help us to do this, because it's not natural for us as mortal beings that are living in a world full of filial love, conditional love, to understand unconditional love. Hey, that's a foreign concept to us, friends. For us, like we said the other week, to understand everlasting love. The length of his love is everlasting. To understand everlasting love. My. He always loved me and he always will love me, friends. Amen. Paul says this goes beyond your human knowledge. But he said, but if you could just ask God to quicken you, to give you the strength so that you could comprehend this love. If you could understand this love of God to a greater extent, it would transform you. It'll transform your life. And it's true, saints. When Brother Faithful was speaking about it again, we did on the Bible study about come follow me. Come unto me, come follow me, come abide in me. That deepening relationship. Now Paul's saying, look, the greatest thing you can do is go deeper in comprehending the extent of God's love. Because God is love. If you really want to know, if you want to search for something, this is what you need to be searching about. You're going to need the Holy Ghost to help you. Because this is not something that you can crack. This kind of geometry doesn't follow the normal rules of the textbook. This one needs the teaching of the Holy Ghost. This one needs an experiential way of learning. And you say, Lord, please show me your love more. How can I better reflect your life if I don't know your love more? Oh, friends, this is a serious thing when you start to think about divine love. It's not easy because the prophet says, this is love down here. But God's love is love from above. So we used to all the time, like we said, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Now, we have love that you really love somebody. You can't live without that girl at school until 3 months later. Then you never want to see her again. Now, that's like human love. You'll be so passionate about someone, all you do is think about it, all you want to do is speak to her on the phone, and 3 months later, somebody mentions her name. Ah! That's human love. That's what we used to. We used to sometimes our parents showing us great love. It's Christmas time. It's our birthday. Then you do something wrong. And hey, where's that love gone now? It's human love. But friends, here's another kind of love. And Paul said, if you could just understand this love, if you could comprehend this love, the extent of this love, this would completely transform you. Because this is revolutionary. This is transforming love. So it's like saying to us, it's okay, guys, you guys, it's okay to get in your boat on this ocean of God's love and just to go up and down the shore a little bit. He says, but there comes a time you need to cast out into the depths. Ask God to help you to go deeper now because this love is vast. What is that song? It says, love, vast as the ocean. Yeah. So yeah. Paul's trying to say, this love, if you would understand the extent of this love, if you could just understand the dimensions of what divine love is. It's as if you could just take your boat a little bit further out. You'll start to experience, you'll start to see some wonderful things. You want to understand the immensity of this love. So, friends, this is not natural love. This is supernatural love. Yeah. We're so used to natural, but this is supernatural love. And just to show you how powerful this love is, just the very first little glimpse that you and I got of it when somebody told us that Hallelujah. Jesus died for you. Amen. And we just saw this expression of divine love on the cross. That first, the prophet says, that shadow of a shadow, of divine love. Amen. When you just grasp that, you comprehended just that. He died for me. It transformed your life. Amen. It changed you from death to life. It changed you from a creature of time to a creature of eternity. Amen. It took you out from the kingdom of darkness and it put you into the kingdom of light. Amen. Just the simplicity of the beginning of that expression of divine love. It was so powerful that it's transformed our lives up to now. We've never been the same. Yes, sir. And we sing about it, such love, that God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss. What kind of love is this? Oh, friends. That's why Paul says this is a powerful thing. But you know what we like? We said it just briefly in another context the other day. We like that little mouse there. In the garners of Egypt in the days of Joseph, all the food stored up for 7 years and we're just eating a little grain and say, but not eat too quickly. I might run out of God's love. You don't realize how vast this love is. Amen. This is love you can't run out of. You look at yourself and say, I think I've just pushed God too far. I think he's run out of love for me. Friends, this is love that can never run out. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying if you can understand the breadth of this love, if you can understand the length of this love never runs out. That the moment you get up from your sin, you get up from your regret, you get up from wherever you are, and you go back to him with an honest heart, once again, a contrite heart, you'll find his love is just the same as it ever was. And then you'll say to yourself, but how can he love me when I'm like this? Friends, this is another kind of love. That's why Paul is saying you need to pray so that God will help you to comprehend
this love, how vast that this love is. That God loves you with such a love. Oh, friends. And the prophet says the world is dying for a little bit of love. The greatest thing, one of the greatest things ever is to feel loved. Is that not a great thing? Especially for someone to love you with an unconditional love. The prophet says it in Standing in the Gap. He says there was that young, that guy was a real worldly guy. He came to the Lord and there'd been a sister in the church. He got quite old. She had never got married. She married him. Yet he was quite a young believer. He had been such a worldly guy. And then he went to her one day and said, honey, I know because you didn't grow up as a Christian. You were in the world. You were deep in this. And I think sometimes it really gets tempting. And he says, sometimes it gets hard. She says, I just want to tell you one thing. If ever you're out there and the devil tempts you and you fall, you come straight back to me. And you'll find me that I'm the same person that you married. I'm the same one that loved you and I'll help you to pray through. And that guy went down to his friends at work and they'll tell him, how could you sin against somebody like that? That'll tell you, look, it doesn't really matter what you do out there. If you come back, I'm going to love you the same. And the prophet says, multiply that by millions. And you have some idea of the love of God. Oh, friends, this is a powerful thing. This is the most powerful thing because God is love. There's nothing more powerful than this. So he loves us with this love and he wants us to comprehend this love. We need to be quickened to comprehend this love. Now, as we say, this love is so powerful in its effect. When this love is grasped, when you just yield to this love, when you allow this love to come in, it'll take you, be seven times demon possessed, like Mary Magdalene. It'll make you into a daughter of God. That's the power of this love. It's quite powerful in that film, The Chosen, when they do that. You know, when she says, you know, what is that scripture from Jeremiah? You know, which he remembers the scripture. If ever you watch it, it's a very, very good way that they do that. But to take someone that's so dark, so demon possessed, but she says, you are mine. My. And just transfer, how can I be yours? You mine. You know, you're my daughter. And the power of that love transforms her. Amen. And you look what Jesus did. Wheresoever he went, that love was being expressed. The power of that love. This was transforming the lives of people. Transforming the most hopeless of cases. It was a serious, serious love. And this love, friends, is the greatest of all motivational factors. Paul says, his love, the love of Christ, constrains us. Why did Paul do the things that he did? He was constrained by love. You know, why did he travel on the sea and travel the distances he did? Why did Peter do the things he did? Why did the saints be burnt at the stake during the dark ages? It wasn't because they were fearing hell, friends. It was they were constrained by love. Yeah. If he loves me like this, oh, there's nothing I won't do for him. That's the power of divine love, friends. There's nothing that'll motivate you to live the right kind of life more than to understand divine love. You'll love him because he first loved you. And you say, what kind of love is this? How can I sin against such love as this? The best thing I can do, I want to support this kind of love with all my heart, all my soul, all of my strength. Yes, and your humanity is going to hold you back. But friends, that is the power of this love. This love is such a powerful thing. And that's why he calls us now. This love will be calling us. Even when he comes to the rich young ruler, he loves him. Yeah, and he calls him, come and follow me. And the young man doesn't surrender to divine love. And he loses his soul. But imagine, the Savior loves you. Amen. You stand in the presence of eternal life and the love of God is expressed to you. Amen. Yes. Friends, I don't want to be there on that day standing before the judgment of God when his love was extended to me and he persuaded me and says, your DNA is not made to live this kind of a greedy kind of a life. The selfish life that you're living. Go sell everything. Give it to the poor. Come and I'll show you what I really made you for. I'll show you what life is all about. And that young man, the devil had hacked him too deep, friends. He got inside of his mind and he made the wrong decision. And it cost him his soul. But Christ had loved him. And God has expressed his love to him. Oh, friends, we don't want to be doing that. Let's come to a close. So we want to be able to comprehend this love. Now, when we're trying to work out the size of the universe, we soon find that, hey, This is vast. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the universe is big. So when we try to put our kilometers on there, we soon run out of space on our calculator. We saw it saying, okay, from us to the nearest star, to Alpha Centauri, is 41 quintillion, whatever that is. What's after trillion is whatever. There's 41 of them. And look at that figure. That's how many kilometers. And they said, no, we can't measure something so great using our human measurements. Meters and centimeters. No, no, no. We need to find a new measure for this. So what does they do? They use the light year. That's okay. So it's 4.2 light years. So they have to scale up in order to understand the vastness of space and to measure these things. They need to find the right measure. And they say, okay, the best measure we can use is the speed of light. The speed of light, 310,000 kilometers per second. Now, friends, you think you're going faster in the airplane when you're going to Africa at 900 kilometers per hour. Try 310,000 kilometers per second. Light can go around the earth 5 times in a second. Imagine. It's already gone around the world 5 times. It's so fast. And you take at that speed, follow it for 1 year. That's a light year. So when you're measuring the extent of the universe, we're saying, we need to use a light year, friends. Hey, that's beyond our understanding. It's a serious thing. That's okay. This is 4.2 light years to the nearest star. Okay, that's okay. Our galaxy is 100,000 light years across. Just our galaxy. So you're going to travel at the speed of light. 186,000 miles per hour, yeah? 310,000 kilometers per second, sorry. Every second you're going, 3 seconds, you've hit 1 million. Kilometers in 3 seconds. Keep going. For how long? For 100,000 years. And you're getting to the end of our galaxy. Friends, this is big. We can't grasp this. And this is what Paul is trying to say about the love of God. He says, you don't grasp what this love is. He says, you can't use your human measure stick for this. You can't use your love for somebody else as a measure of God's love for you. We can't use that. This is a supernatural something. This is something so well beyond. What about our universe? 93 billion light years across. So let's get in our rocket ship. Let's do 310,000 kilometers per second. And let's travel for 93 billion years. And we get to the other side of the known universe. Wow. But you know what Paul says? Paul says God's love is bigger than that. God's love is bigger than that. Now for us, we can't understand it. But God's love, because God is love, God's love is eternal. All through eternity, you can keep going at light speed through the love of God. You'll never get to the end of the love of God. Because God is love, He's eternal. You'll never fully know God. You'll never fully know this love. Imagine how powerful this love is, friends. And you and I sit there dying for a little bit of love. And heaven is so full, packed with the love of God. Just wanting to express itself inside of your life. If you'll just open up our hearts. Oh, that's why the prophet says, it says down here. He says this little shadow of a shadow of a shadow. He said, if you get up there into the kingdom of God. He says the love of God is like a vast ocean. He says, and as you come down from His kingdom, down to us like a funnel, He says, it comes narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow and down until it strikes a heart and it's just a little shadow. He says, but on that day, when your mortal wheels stand still, when you die, and you step out of time into eternity as a believer, He says, that shadow of a shadow becomes a shadow. Then from a shadow, it becomes a trickle. From a trickle, it becomes a stream. From a stream, it becomes a river. From the river, it becomes the ocean. He said, you're standing in the presence of God, friends. That's why He says, eye has not seen. Neither has it even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. Friends, this love is vast. This love is deep. Okay, so we need to do a little bit of divine geometry because Paul is telling us the length of this love we need to understand. We've already know the length of this love. This love is everlasting. Now we can measure the universe. We know at certain point we come to the end of the universe. Because they say science, maybe they'll change it again like they normally do, but they say the Big Bang, everything's expanding since then. So we know there's the edge of the universe. We know we can come to the end. But with the love of God, you can never come to the end. There's no boundary to the love of God. Is there a boundary to God? So is there a boundary to His love? So can you ever run out of the love of God? If you're a child of God, can you ever, ever come to a stage where you say, God doesn't love me? No, that's not divine language. That's not in God's vocabulary. He loves you with an everlasting love. His length, the length of this love is everlasting. That's what it is. That's what Paul said, if you could just comprehend. Okay, what is the next thing we need to understand? Is the breadth of this love. What does the breadth of His love speak of? It speaks of His hands. Come unto me. The breadth of God's love speaks of it's all inclusive. Come just as you are. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're yellow or red, whether you are the worst sinner in the city, whether you grew up in church, it's speaking of His all-inclusive love. The breadth of God's love shows no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, His love is still there for you. Amen. That's what we're speaking about. That's not human love, friends. That's something we need to experience. That's something we need to comprehend by degrees. That's something we want Him to reveal to us more and more, because that's going to transform us more and more. When we understand that God doesn't draw boundaries around and say, I don't want these people to be saved, but I want these. No. Whosoever will, let him come. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Now this predestination for His purpose, that's another purpose. But concerning salvation, God's love is open to everybody. Whosoever will. Come just as you are. He doesn't want the religious people just to come. You might have blasphemed yesterday. You might have been so down in the gutter yesterday. But the breadth of His love reaches out His hands to you today and says, come just as you are. Come. I'll transform you. I know what you need. You need a revelation of my love. You need to experience my love. What about the depth of His love? Friends, the depth of His love is shown by how far God is willing to condescend to come to where you are. Amen. There's no place too deep that God won't come to you. There's no place. You might have been in the gutter, spoiled by your vomit when you came from the club. And you went home and washed yourself and came to church today. And inside of your heart, you want to serve God. God's love will meet you where you are. You might be the worst sinner in the city that the prophet says the dogs won't even bark at you. He said, Jesus will still come your way. Say, I have needs to go via Samaria. There's no place God's love won't go. That shows the depth of God's love. God was willing to go right down into the regions of the lost just about to take you and I out from the pit and to transform us into children of God. My, think of the depth of God's love. Listen what David says when he speaks of the depth of God's love. He says, Psalm 40, He brought me also out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. I was stuck in that pit of sin, of despair, of depression. I couldn't get myself out. But He came to me. When I couldn't come to where He was, He came to me. Friends, that's speaking of the depth of His love. Look at Jesus, the places that He went, we've been speaking about the last few weeks. That shows the depth of God's love, because Jesus is the expression, the epitome of the love of God. He's the love of God made flesh. Jesus would go anywhere if there was a soul seeking to experience the divine love. So my friend, today, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, no matter how defiled you may be inside of your life, God can still meet you today and transform you now. The love of God can meet you now, and there'll be a from that time, and you'll never be the same if you'll just open your heart. When that love, even that shadow of the love comes and knocks on your door and says, I didn't make you, I didn't design you to live this kind of a life. Let me take control. And you just say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to do it, but Jesus, I need you. You just take control. the simplicity of that prayer, something takes place. The prophet says eternal life, maybe the size of a button comes inside of you and it starts working from the inside. And that divine love starts to sanctify you. That divine love starts to transform you. Then it starts working on the outside. And then we see you now dressing properly. We see you behaving properly. We see your mouth being used for the right things. Your ears being used for the right things. Oh, that's the power of the love of God. And the final thing is, friends, the height of his love. David says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's mercy towards me. Wow. As far as the heavens are above the earth, the height of God's love, he was willing to come down to the depth of where you were. Why? To raise you up to the height of where he is. God came to you. Why? Why did he express his love to you down in your pit, down in the clay, so he could raise you up to share his throne? So he could raise you up to the heights, now heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what love does to you, friends. So the last thing we'll do, we need to ask ourselves this here now. Look at his motive. He wants to share his love with us. There's a lot. I'll just skip past. But there's only one true measure of the love of Christ. There's only one true measure of the love of God. There's only one thing that can show us the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length. Hallelujah. We use a light here. We use a ruler. We use a yardstick, whatever that we use. But God says, okay, there's only one measure of my love that you can use. Amen. If you want to understand the extent of my love, and that is the cross. Amen. Because the cross shows us the height. Where does he want to take us from? Where did he come from? He came down. He descended, condescended at Christmas time, what, to become a babe in a manger, in a stable. Look how he condescended. That's what the love of God had condescended down. Then in his life, he condescended to go to the worst of places, to meet up with the worst of people. And he didn't stop coming from that height, coming all the way down. This cross was planted right in the earth. And he came right down into this earth. And he came now, then he started to raise us up. The song says, born to give us second birth. Born to raise the sons of earth. He came to raise us up. And then if you want to know the breadth of his love, David says, as far as the east is from the west, so has God removed my sins from me. How far is the east from the west? That's a serious measurement, friends. But that's where the love of God separates, takes you from there. So, does he love you? Yes. How do you know? Number one, because he says so. Hallelujah. That should be enough. But friends, he wants to express that love to you. He loves you because he said so, and then he demonstrated that love to you. If ever you have a question, you wonder, does God love me? This is the true measure of divine love. If you want to know the height, the depth, the breadth, the length, God's already demonstrated and shows us the measure that we need to use to measure divine love. And that's when Christ died for us on the cross. And Paul is now saying, look, saints, if you want to be transformed in your life, if you want to be what God really called you to be, you need to ask him. Say, Lord, I want to comprehend deeper this love. I want to understand, because by understanding and experiencing a deeper portion of that love, it will transform you. And you'll better be able to express that love. The prophet says, do we love him? Yes. And how can we show that we love him? He says, by believing him. Amen. And conducting ourselves with joy in the midst of the trials that he in his wisdom allows us to go through. So friends, let's come back to the cross. Let's come back to the simplicity of it today. Let's lay aside religion today. Let's come back to the only thing that really counts, which is divine love. Because God is love. Let's come back to him. If you've lost your love, he's yearning to reveal that love to you once again. If you've never experienced this love, he's already demonstrated it to you. He's demonstrated his intent at Calvary, that he wants you to know that love. Let's stand, saints. Let's ask the musicians to come, saints. No, there's that
song sometimes we listen to and think about his love. Think about his goodness. Forget about your problems. Let's bow our heads, saints, just as the musicians come. Let's forget about our problems. Let's forget about maybe at month end the bills weren't all paid. You know, those things, they'll take care of themselves. But let's think about his love. Let's think about his goodness. I'll ask you a question. Is Jesus not worthy to be worshipped? Is there anybody more worthy? Is Jesus not worthy to be the Lord of your life? Has he not demonstrated it? Has he not shown it? God has designed you for a certain purpose. He has a certain purpose for your life. And then he loves you and he wants to show you that love, so that you and him can walk together in this life to fulfill the purpose that he designed you for. And as we sing, just think about that love. Think about, what does this mean to me? Do I know this love? And if you don't know that love, don't leave this place today. But with an honest heart, say, Lord, I want to comprehend better your love. Let's sing, Brent.
I have a maker. He formed my eyes. Time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees, it's tears that fall.
That falls. And friends, he doesn't just see it, but it's just his nature that his love will project to where you are. And he'll come there to where you are and he'll knock there and say, let me take control of this. Give me your sorrow. Give me your tears. Let me come into the midst of your sorrow. Because the Bible says that Jesus, he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows what sorrow is. He knows how to sympathize. He's the sympathizing Jesus. That's what it says. He's the great physician. I think somebody put the quote yesterday about what we need is the healing of the soul. Now your soul might be dark today. Now you might come to church and sometimes you think to say, I'm just so glad people don't really know who I am. I'm
so glad that people don't know the thoughts that go through my mind. And sometimes the evil that's at work inside of my heart. But friends, the song says He knows your thoughts. And He still loves you. And because of those thoughts, He draws near to you even now. And He comes and says, the human heart wasn't created to have such thoughts. The human mind is not supposed to meditate on such things. The human mouth isn't supposed to say those kind of words. Your ears aren't supposed to be listening to the things you're listening to, but He knows you can't change yourself. And that's why His love comes down to where you are. He comes to you when you can't come to Him. This is the depth of His love. There's no depth too deep that He won't come to you. And maybe today He's come to you. And He's saying, it's enough is enough. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting people all around you by holding on to those garments of sin. Why not just surrender yourself to Him today and say, Jesus, won't you take these tattered garments, contaminated and defiled by the way that I've lived? Lord, wash me and then clothe me in the robes of your righteousness. That's what He said that He'll do. He says, though your sins were as scarlet, yet He said you will be as white as wool, as white as snow. Is that what you desire? All He says to you is, come, let us reason together. Come and talk to me about it. And then you'll say, but Lord, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed of my life. And He'll say to you, when I hung on the cross, it was embarrassing. It was just a shame to hang naked before the people, but I did it for you. Oh, friends, there's nothing that He wouldn't do for you. Look what He's already done. And He stands at the door and He knocks today and He comes, especially to the young people, and says, I designed you. I made you for a purpose. I want to use you for my glory. I want to show you what your life can really be if you'll just walk with me. If you'll walk in me, I'll transform you. I'll use you. You'll know the heights and the depths. You know what life is all about. But friends, the handle to the door is on the inside. Hallelujah. You are the one who's got to open it up. And is anybody here today wants to raise and say, Jesus, I'm opening the door today. I'm casting down my reasoning today. I'm casting down my understanding, Lord. I just want your love to transform me. I just want your grace to come and make me into what I'm supposed to be. I've tried to change myself, Lord. I've tried reformations. I've tried New Year's resolutions. I just can't change myself, Lord. I'm tired of it now. I'm frustrated. I've struggled for too long. But Jesus, I can see that all you were trying to do was trying to get me to come to the end of myself, to realize that there's nothing that I really need to do because you've done it for me already. That all I need to do is allow your love to come in and then you will transform me. Why not raise your hand to Him today? Whatever your need inside of your life. You might have an unforgiveness. It's hard for you to let go and you're saying, Jesus, this is not what I'm supposed to be. This is not what I'm designed to be. You might have pressure. You might have things that you think from the past and it's giving you high blood pressure. It's giving you ulcers in your stomach. That's testifying that you weren't designed to have those kind of thoughts and to carry those kind of burdens. Why not come to Him today? Cast your burdens unto Jesus. Why not roll it onto Him and say, Jesus, you are the burden bearer. You carried the cross. You died for me. Why not let's come to a time of prayer, saints? Why don't you speak to Him? He knows your thoughts. He sees your tears. Why don't you come to the cross today and just kneel down at the foot of the cross and look up and see the love of God expressed to you? This great love and say, Jesus, I need you. I need your love. You may say, I might say, I don't know how to pray. Just express what's in your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. Let's all pray, saints, before we finish off. Father, I do look unto Thee, Father, upon this day and my great desire. Savior, Lord, Lord, what it cost, Father, for Lord God, Lord Savior, even, Lord, just even for us to sit in here this day, and Lord, for us, Lord, Father, to receive the salvation we've received, O God, Lord, to think, Lord, Father, O God, of Lord, the height, the depth, the breadth,
Savior, Lord, and the lame soul. Father, of your love, you have toward us, O God. Father, Lord, we love you, Lord. Father, Lord, we, Lord, Savior, can't even comprehend the type of love that you have for us, O God. But with what we have and what you've given us, understanding, Lord, we give back to thee, O God. Father, truly, Lord, you are gracious, you are righteous, O God. Father, Lord, Savior, we are just but mere mortals, even amidst this life. Father, journeying through life, Lord, and Lord, many times, heating accidents, Lord, Father. Oh, precious Savior, but all we would ask, O God, is that thou would, Lord, Father, help us, that we, Lord, stay in the presence of such love. Lord, we'd stay diligent and sober, Lord, that we'd be able, Lord, to consider ourselves, O God, Father, in all circumstances, to know that, Lord, Father, O God, for all thou hast, Lord, given unto us, oh, there's been much sacrifice, O God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. Oh, Father, precious Savior, that we can't even understand. We can't even, Lord, Savior, Father, precious Savior, Lord, go into the depth of what you've done for us, O God. But all we can say is, Lord, we love you. And thank you, Lord, Savior, for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor, Lord, who's ministered unto us even upon this day. Lord, such, Lord, Father, love, such virtuous love, Lord. Father, it's only agape love, Lord, that can, Lord, Savior, extend beyond, Lord, Savior, Father, the human love, fully, O Lord. But, Lord, Father, truly, we are grateful, Lord, and, Lord, Father, for what you have done for us, O God. We bless you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, and we thank you, O God. Lord, be not constrained by, Lord, Father, our, Lord, circumstances, Lord. Father, we will do, Lord, Savior, all within our power and within our capacity, O God, Lord, to express back to thee, Father, the grace that was given unto us, Lord. Oh, we bless you, we praise you. We give to thee the glory that belongeth unto thee, O God. Father, be glorified, Lord. Be lifted, Lord, even above all, Father. Oh, Father, let us even, Lord, go back into these things, Lord, and, Lord, take careful inventory, Lord, and ponder, Lord, this, Lord, Savior, depth thou hast, Lord, given unto us upon this day, O God. Father, knowing in thee, Lord, Savior, it never just came overnight, Lord. Father, Lord, Savior, this is the love you had even before, Lord, Savior, time even began. Before creation, O God, you knew us, O God. Personally, Lord, Savior, God, and you orchestrated things that, Lord, our parts would cross. Lord, we would sit, Lord, even in, Lord, Father, this, Lord, Savior, assembly, Lord, Savior. Father, Lord, Savior, helping and pointing, Lord, Savior, one another. Lord, Savior, back to what, Lord, has given us, Lord, Savior. Oh, what we are, Lord, Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. We thank you, Lord Jehovah, for your mercy, O God. Oh, Lord, and we can look into these things, O God. Then we realize, Lord Savior, what, Lord Savior, it cost for you, Lord Savior. Lord, and what price you paid, Father, Lord Savior, to give unto us, Lord, the love you gave unto us, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord, help us to cherish, Lord, Father, one another, Lord, to cherish, Lord, Father, the relationship between each other, Lord Savior. For, Lord, we've not, Lord, just, Lord Savior, stumbled, Lord, into one another, Lord Savior, but it's been carefully planned, Lord. And we are grateful, Lord, we are thankful, O God. Father, give us your grace, give us your mercy. Oh, Father, that we, Lord Savior, constantly, Lord Savior, come into thy presence, seeking thy face and grace. Oh, for the needs that we would have, thou knowest them, Lord, we lay them unto thee, O God, to think, O God. Lord, is there anything, Lord, that, Lord, Father, you could deny us, or is there anything too complicated, Lord, Father, to see, oh, Father, how, oh, Father, you would, oh, Father, go from one end to the other, Lord, just, Lord, Savior, Father, to make things to work for us, oh, God. We bless you, we praise you, we give you the glory that belongeth unto thee. Restore virtue unto our pastor, restore strength, oh, God. And, Lord, let this word, oh, Father, come back, Lord, having accomplished, Lord, Father, even that portion that we can of the love you've granted unto us, O God. Father, we bless you, we praise you. Keep us, bless our families, Lord. Help us, Lord God, that we, Lord Savior, in this life, may Lord Savior express the portion you have unto us, O God, of that love. Thank you, we love you in Jesus' name.
Let's sing that song, saints, as we come to baptism. Let's sing that song, Coming Home. Now, when your heart comes back to him, well, let me ask you this question. Is your heart at home today? Or do you just feel, I'm not at home? In the love of God, your heart is always at home. When in the midst of the children of God, no matter where you go, If God is dwelling in your heart, you feel at home. If your heart isn't at home, if it's troubled today, as we sing the song, it's time to come home.
Away from home, I'm coming home. Paths of sin, too long I've gone. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Nevermore.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. That's how simple it is. So we're so glad to baptize our brother. Are you ready for baptism, bro? Okay, let's sing one more song and we'll go and baptize our brother.
Through the land, singing as I go, souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. But my Lord, please.
To have the privilege, the opportunity to go to baptize our brother. I know it's not that easy with everybody being outside and so forth, so Brother Vogus will help you put it on the screen. But I just wanted just to say to our brother, Brother Israel, the Lord has been dealing with your heart. You've known him since you were young, but you've really made a commitment now that you want to walk with him, yeah? You're walking with him in a new kind of a way, which is such a blessing. So the brother now, he wants, as a public witness, to show what the Lord's already done in his heart. The Lord has done something to you and you want to bear witness to us. Is that so? Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And you want to be baptized in his name. Amen. So we're so glad to baptize you. Let's go, bro. It's going to be cold, bro. Yes, take off your shoes. When you're going to sit in the middle and we'll baptize you, put your legs. Okay, we need your towel, bro.
The bag is just there.
Brother Joseph, good to see you, bro. Yes. Amen. Yes, it's like going in the tomb. It's nice and cold. You won't forget it, bro. Okay, bro, you go inside. If you sit in the middle, put your legs in front if you like it, so we can put you backwards. It's going to be pretty cold, but it's like cold, bro. Okay, if you come just a little bit closer here, bro. We won't take long. We'll baptize you. So, brother Israel, we're so glad because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It's cool. But the deed is done. Come, let's pray for you, bro. Father, we so thank you for these days, Lord, to see how you're dealing with the hearts of your sons and your daughters, Lord. How you're calling from the north and the south and the east and the west. Father, what a privilege that it is. And Lord, I want to pray for Brother Israel now. I pray your richest blessings upon him, Lord, even as you've been dealing with him, Lord. You just finish the work. Seal his soul, Father, as we baptize him with water. You baptize him with the Holy Ghost in fire, that he may fulfill the divine purpose that, Lord, you have made him for. May you protect him, Lord. May you keep him. May, Lord, you lead him and guide him to comprehend in a far more real way, day by day, the depth and the height, Lord, and the length, Lord, of the love that you have for him. May you use him for your glory, Lord. May your spirit lead him and guide him, Lord. May you deliver him from evil. May you guide his footsteps in the ways that he should go. May you bless him naturally. May you bless him spiritually, Lord. May he be blessed, and indeed, may he be a blessing to others. We commit him into your hands and bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother. Congratulations.
Amen.
The Lord richly bless you. We just wait for this. The top. Amen. God bless you, brother. You don't get changed, and we'll sing and wait for you to finish. Okay, brother.
That will be when we all see.
shadow, not a cloud. Where we are and you're when we go.
Washed my sin away. Oh,
think it's a happy day, but you go and work with Brother John in his work for a while where you're dealing with people with their end-of-life care. And you see people who die without Christ. And you compare it with people that can say, happy day, when Jesus took all my sins away. Friends, it may just sound like a song tune, but imagine there on that deathbed, when you come into the last breath of this life and you know, I'm so glad for that happy day that Jesus took all my sins away. Now, we may think these days are small. They're not. The angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. It's a really, really happy day. Let's sing one more as we wait for our brother.
Bringing in the shoes.
No, don't sing. Sing something like, I'm so glad that I'm one of them. Thanks, brother, if you'd sing that one.
One of them?
One of them. Okay. One of them. Thanks, brother.
One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the verdicts of that Pentecost baptism and with them.
Please keep us in prayer, Brother Woolman. I will be away next weekend from Thursday to Monday in Czech Republic. I heard from Brother Gregory there that there's 170 young people coming, so it's a lot of pressure. Keep us in prayer, and may the Lord bless you until we meet.
Hallelujah. Amen. Our Heavenly Father,
yes,
Lord, we are thankful, Lord, this afternoon to have been here.
Yes, Lord.
What a blessing it was to our souls, Lord, to look into how fearfully and wonderfully we are made, Lord. Father, when we think, Lord, oh God, of how you have made us and you have put such detail into each and every one of us, Lord, oh God, be merciful unto us, Father, at the moments where we doubt you, Lord. Help us, Father, to think on these things, Lord, that when we look in the mirror and see the miracle of how you made us, Lord, that it may encourage us to know that there is God who cares and who loves for us, oh God. Father, you cared so much, Lord, for us who, Lord, when we look at our own selves, we think we are nothing, Lord. Yet, Father, you loved us so much that you left your glory, Lord, and came down to be a man like us, oh God, to die on a cross, Lord, a cruel death, that we may be called the sons and daughters of God. We thank you for this, oh God. We are so thankful, Lord, that in this day where science has gone this way and that way, Father, you have still constrained them to testify that you are a living God. Amen. We want to thank you for that, oh God. Father, may your name be blessed this afternoon, even as we see our brother Israel, Lord.
Amen.
Father, coming all the way back from America, Lord, desiring to do the one thing, to bring his soul into rest with you, oh God. Father, we pray your blessing upon him, that Lord, oh God, the desire that his parents had when he was born and they named him Israel, Lord, that it may be fulfilled in his life, oh God. Lord, let his life be a testimony to so many others around him, Lord, that it may shine a light, Lord, and bring many to righteousness. We pray for every young person that's here, Lord, having heard these things explained, Lord, in a way that we could understand in today's terms. Lord, have mercy upon the young people that are here, Lord, that haven't given their lives over to you, O God. Father, help them, O Father, through the preaching of the word today, that it may prick them in their hearts, Lord, that it may begin something in their souls, Lord, that they may sense their need for thee, O God, that they may come unto you, Lord, for your arms are open wide, calling whosoever will, O God. We pray for them, Lord. Bless every father that's here and every mother, Lord, that they would take this message, bring it to their children at home, create that atmosphere, Lord, to continue to nurture them, oh Father. Lord, to continue to encourage them, Father, that, Lord, they may bring their souls unto rest with thee, oh God. Grant us grace, oh Father. Bless our pastor. Lord, oh God, I pray you renew his strength, Lord, that you would lead and guide him through this week, Lord, even as we would prepare for the meetings in Czech. Lord, I pray that, Lord, your anointing would come and that you would give us a word in season for those young people, Lord, that are waiting to hear from you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, let it be that, oh God, many will give their lives to you, Father, that, Lord, they may come to a realization that we are sinners, Lord, and that we need you, Father, oh God. Won't you grant it, Lord? Give us a safe journey going and coming back, remembering, Lord, even our families that we leave behind, that you would watch over them, oh God. Bless the services next week here in this place, Lord. We commit our brethren that are stand in the post of duty. Lord, use them, oh God, to minister unto thy people, oh Father. Please be with us now as we would depart. We remember the sick again, even our brother Vladimir, we commit him to you. Our sister Natasha and Marco, we pray for them, Lord, that you touch them and heal them. Even this sister, Lord, back in Slovakia, Lord, be merciful upon her, Lord, and bring her back, Lord, Father, into this life again. We commit them into your hands. Bless us as we part, Lord, and until we meet again, we ask, Father, that you would watch over us. in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother, God bless, brother. Amen. Let's dismiss with whatever Brother George has for us. And God bless you, saints. Thank you for your patience. May the Lord be with you.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oversee how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. You sing with me, how great is our God. And oversee how great. How great is our God. Oh, splendor of the King. Oh, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Oh, in darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. You sing with me, how great is our God. And oversee our great is our God. Oh, age to which you stand. Time is in his hand. And the end, the beginning and the end. See your face.